Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gridiron Blitz Podcast, your weekly source for women's American football, insights, game recaps, and NFL news weekly. Subscribe on Apple and iHeart.
Welcome to the Gridiron Blitz, 379 in the house today. We're going to have the Tampa Bay Inferno. We're going to be talking WNFC playoffs. We're going to be talking WFA round one recaps with Mark Simone in the second hour, a.k.a. Backseat Coach. And we're going to have special guests as well, Aaron Truex, co-host of the Cleat Sheet and Boston Renegades champion. She'll be here also to be talking WFA playoffs with us in the second hour. But in the first hour here, in about 10 minutes here, we're going to be talking to Coach Johnny Green of the Tampa Bay Inferno, and Candace Thompson of the Tampa Bay Inferno, and Juliet Skylar Turner of the Tampa Bay Inferno. So we got Tampa Bay Inferno in the house as they go up against July 10th. It's going to be a real big clash for them against the multi-time champion Boston Renegades in Division One of the Women's Football Alliance. So thanks, everybody, for subscribing to our podcast on Apple, iHeart, and Spotify. Really, really appreciate it. Last week's episode was really awesome, and all the metrics are nice. So thank you to Gina Magana, Coach Rick Rasmussen, and as well as Mark Simone for giving us the lowdown, and Marissa Goldston for coming in here with the Fierce Beauties as well. So if you missed it, go back to 378. On your favorite platform and listen to it. So really awesome. Thank you, everybody, for bumping us up on that. So it's a huge weekend in the Women's Football Alliance because we have conference championships coming up here, one step closer to the road to Canton. That's what we're at right now. And in the WNFC, the reveal of the top eight teams that will be in the playoffs for the Nine Cup, the Chase of the Nine Cup, were revealed this weekend. The rankings were finalized, plus everything was put together. Some teams were not happy about the result, be it Denver at this point. Unfortunately, everything is taken into account when we go into the breakdown in terms of the rankings, strength of schedule, and every other factors in terms of tiebreakers and everything else that was included in the guidelines. So if you feel otherwise on that, it just boils down to competition and competitive competition. So Las Cruces gets into the dance, and they unfortunately get to face the Utah Falcons once again. One of the big tests for them, 46-0 was their loss to them early in the season. If you want to go to the hub, you can go right there. You get all the lowdown of what's happening in the sport. The best network on the planet exists at the hub, and that's at facebook.com/gridironbeauties. That's where you want to be day to day, week to week. You get the lowdown on everything that's happening in sport, including action in Finland, action in the Liga Elita in Mexico, as well as the Italian Cup in Italy. So if you don't know what's going on, you go right there to the hub, the best network on the planet. That's where we're at, and that's where you want to be. So we're going to be talking to the Tampa Bay Inferno here in a couple minutes. Congratulations to the St. John Storm for winning the Maritime 41-12 over Fredrickson Gladiators. Those awesome job this season. Given to COVID, it was shortened a season over in the Maritime up north in Canada. The WWCFL did not play a season. And then if you haven't checked out our gallery on Instagram, go check it out. Nevada and Storm, front and center, quarterback Mo Ochen and Sarah Congaglio, right there, number 12 and number 18, front and center at the Instagram on our Gridiron Beauties Instagram at Gridiron Beauties. All right, so let's dive into this playoff format that we're going to be round one done in the WFA. We're going to be talking conference finals as we get into it. Week eight WNFC, it was really a clash of surprises. Nobody anticipated Mississippi to go on this run. We were talking about them 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I said they would have to run the table in order them to even get into the dance, and exactly what they did. They ran the table. And finally, at the end, in week eight, they take down the Alabama Fire. So they did what they had to get done. Regina Jackson out there, just an amazing athlete, even with an injury situation during the game, still was able to come back, pull her team up, and the Lady Panthers, literally an upset in week eight, they win 26-14 against the Fire to the WNFC Chase for the Nine Cup, and they will be facing a really tough opponent in the Texas Elite Spartans. So they are going to get the champs right off the bat. Lady Panthers, if you're listening, a lot of homework. It's a lot of homework to contain Bushman and company, Landry, Guidry, I mean, you name it out there, Jarboneau, Green, just a bunch of names out there you can throw out there. But Mississippi has a tall task if they want to get into the upset mode. And that would be historic if they can come into Texas and take down the Spartans after previously taking down the Alabama Fire. Wow, what a story for the WNFC year if they could take care of business that way. Alabama, with the loss, not a detrimental loss, but it is a reality check for them because now they get to face Kansas City. Kansas City squeezes in before Washington. At this point, a lot of people are saying, well, why would we take Kansas City over Washington? Petition and everything else that goes into play with it. The ranking committee decided that obviously Kansas City got the nod. So Kansas City, no different than Mississippi. We get an uphill battle here against Alabama. Alabama against Kansas City. This is a situation where Matty Rosas and company, Taylor Hay, no stranger to being in the finals with the St. Louis Lamb, the running back, they have one shot to get in and to shoot themselves into the Atlantic Conference Finals. So at this point, the Glory really need to step up. Alabama really needs to wake up. They have kind of slid a little bit there, but defensively, I know they've been injured out there, but they got to get in. They got to wake up if they want to get into that situation where they'll take on either Texas or Mississippi. On the other side of the Pacific, the seed Utah will be taking on Las Cruces once again. Las Cruces, a big challenge for them, a situation where they needed just better planning, game planning. But, how do you game plan against Gina Magana and Luis Bean and everybody else on that Falcon squad? So they got to do a better job at that. So I'm assuming at this point during the season, we said they just got to stay competitive. At this point, they have to be above competitive if they want to, make a mark and get into the Nine Cup chase. All right, San Diego took down their last week. They just took care of business 58-0 against Oregon. Oregon obviously without their playmakers on offense as they were very good during the midseason. But they take care of business. Vegas gets the nod at number three, and it's going to be San Diego, Vegas. It is a rematch. I know Nenji Martin and Deion Lee are looking forward to this, so it's going to be a really good clash there. So we're going to be looking forward to all this action. Plus, we're going to dive into the Women's Football Alliance talk in the second hour as we get Aaron Truex of the Boston Renegades here, and we're going to get Mark Simone, a.k.a. Backseat Coach, as well. So we'll dive in the second hour, everything WFA, everything WNFC, just get you ready for this clashes for July 10th and get you ready for this weekend coming up here as well. So great job for everybody. If you were watching the live stream on Vire, Vimeo, or on the WNFCfootball.com, or if you're watching the WFA action individually at the Facebook sites of Divas, Outcast, as well as CSTV Now and Town Square. So really exciting weekend. So we're going to go into the Monkey Knife Fight promo, and then we're going to go into the huddle, and we're going to bring in the Tampa Bay Inferno in a second here.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
The Warriors expect greatness. From our preparation to the way we perform to the way we shine, expect greatness. Expect it from yourself. Expect it from your teammates. Expect it from this team. We brawl, we kill, we eat.
Yes, sir.
Hey, energy, emotion, play fast, play for each other.
Tampa Bay Inferno in the house on the Blitz. How you guys doing today, Coach Green and Candy and Juliet? How's it going today?
Going good. Thank you for having us.
All right, Coach Green. We have an obstacle up north in Boston. No stranger you are to them at this point. Everybody wants to know: can we take down the Big Bear?
Right now, we just have to control what we do as far as Inferno. Everyone at this stage playing in conference championships, you know, you get here for a reason. So we know Boston is a very talented team, but right now our mindset is about what we can control amongst the Inferno.
Coach Green, a great season for you guys, competitive all season on the East Coast. Also, you know, you got to face some of your Florida counterparts, but overall, the trip to D.C., very productive, really good game for you guys, Candy and company as well. So can you speak to that game?
Again, just coming in, knowing we have a game plan, just a game plan as we make the adjustment for what D.C. was doing. But, again, it all starts about what we can control amongst ourselves, just one play at a time, and that's how we try to approach every single game that we have. So, you know, D.C. is not wasn't even though score looked like it was out of reach, but it was a very tough game, well-fought game by D.C., every time we played them twice thus far, they've always given us their best.
Surprised that Ken Gialdi came back under center at this point? Did you guys anticipate that, or were you guys anticipating another quarterback before he coming in?
No, we did. You know, we had a game plan ready for that just in case that she did get some playing time, because we understand the moment that, you know, it's winning, you keep going. So we know that that's their best QB, and we understand that what they was up against. We feel sorry for her as far as the injury goes. We wish her good luck going into next season, a speedy recovery. But we just wanted to make sure that we control what we can control if she did get into the game, because we know she was going to try to give them a spark in what she could.
Now, we know all about D. Scott's injury. Obviously very talented and probably a different game plan if she was into the mix, but unfortunately that didn't happen. So, but you guys did really good game. Candy, you played really well that game, up and down the field. Was able to do a really, really good damage in the second half, and I guess that's when you guys really ran out with it down the stretch there in the second half.
Yeah, my mentality was just to lock in. I feel like every time I step on the field, I'm going to give 100% of what I have. And when I'm not able to give 100%, I'm going to find it to give. So I just, my whole mentality was just to be a leader on my team as I've always had and just play my game. And it worked out for me. You know, I had a good game on both offense and defense. So, you know, I was just giving everything that I had and hoping that my team just rallied with me like we do.
Now, you had some good breakout moments there and also some tough red zone, to get into the red zone. So it's just D.C. really had some, you know, some pretty good defense, and then they kind of wore down towards the second half. But overall, I mean, they played pretty well as they could have played, basically, for how their season's gone this year.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the biggest thing that worked to our advantage is we're known to be a big running team, and we have running backs. We literally run with our legs, and we don't stop running until the whistle. So being able to just really run behind our shoulder pads and break those tackles was very helpful for us and allowed us to just see the end zone when we really needed to in those moments. And some very crucial first downs that we needed every time we went for it on fourth down or when we had those third and longs, you know, to just keep driving our feet and know, you know, hey, everything that we need is within reach. It's a game of inches. So just being able to just say we're going to run strong and having Coach Green just believe that we can do it and put the ball in our hands, you know, that was the most important part, and we were able to get it done.
Yeah, it was a great performance by you. Juliet, you're no stranger to being in some finals. I mean, you've been in Texas with Austin in the 8-on-8 competitions. And here, I mean, pretty good game against the Divas yourself.
Yeah, it was a great hard-fought game. Kudos to our owners and coaching staff for just really preparing us and keeping us locked in and engaged in the game. It was a huge trip for us as a team, and we just knew that we needed to get the job done and didn't want the season to end there.
Yeah, Juliet, what do you anticipate with Boston? They're just pretty good on both sides of the ball. I mean, if you look at their game film and tape, they pretty much are pretty balanced on both sides, big muscled on defense. You anticipate it's going to be a clash, a really tough clash?
So Boston, you know, they're a great organization, and they're going to put up a fight. But as Coach Green says, we worry about what we can control and preparing ourselves as a team to go up there and put our best foot forward in the game, not worry too much. If we play our game and do what we need to do, then everything should work in our favor.
Now, you're no strangers to being in championship mode, especially with, you know, Texas with Austin and everything else. Is this just normal for you? This is it, you know, one in and out, basically, or in and one win and in, right?
Yeah, no stranger to it. Definitely different being with this organization, loving it so far. And surprisingly, like, our whole team, we're all locked in and we're all hungry for it. It's just one game at a time. That's all. We're going to worry about Boston, and then after Boston, we'll worry about the next game. So we're just ready to get there and just get the job done.
Candy, coming in here, cool visor, cool promo, good photos. You know, you're all over social media. How does it feel to represent the team as one of the key players that fans can dive into?
For me, I've always just tried to market myself to the best of my ability, and being able to have that presence and be, you know, one of the leaders or faces or representation for this team, you know, it means a lot to me. But I grow up this mentality: when you look good, you feel good, you play good, and it's never really a sense of being like a fashion show, but it has always helped me coming in with a clean look and, you know, pretty cool features and everything. It's always just something that helps me and it drives me. So, you know, it's been pretty nice.
Well, I got to say, you're one of the faces of the WFA. If you start looking at the rushing, you know, you're right there with, you know, names like Cooper, Thomas, Bonds, Williams, Gabriel. So it's just D. Scott, you know, Mata. So you are probably one of the elite, you know, runners in terms of the whole league in itself. So that's a credit to your work ethic as well to, you know, to muscle in and stay healthy all season.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, 12 years in, it's hard to keep going like that. But, you know, when you take care of your body, and I've been through injuries and, you know, when you take care of your body and you have that mentality that you're going to bounce back from anything, that's what you do. And that's just been my mentality. I'm never going to stop, you know, moving my feet. I'm never going to stop running. I'm going to be good no matter what position, because I'm going to work hard and I'm going to take care of my body and be able to continue to perform at that top level, because that's the work ethic that I put into it. So,
yeah, I mean, you've done a great job. Like I said, you're right there in with the names of top players nationwide, so that's really awesome. Coach Green, a lot of playmakers on your team. I wouldn't say it's not like this year alone, but you've had a lot of playmakers over the past on your organization. But this year seems like it's a different aspect. I mean, it looks like everybody's ready and honed in, like you said earlier, about getting to Canton, basically. And it's a historic moment in itself, right, Coach Green, or to arrive in Canton for this huge moment for the WFA?
Well, right now, our focus is really not about Canton right now. Our focus is preparing for the next day of practice. Once we finish our practice, then our next moment will be, you know, traveling to Boston. So that's our moment right now. We're not even, you know, thinking about Canton right now, because Canton would be even into the picture until we can see what happens on the 10th against Boston. So that's just where our mindset is. That's why I try to focus on my team, one practice at a time, one day at a time, one game at a time. So we just want to just focus on Boston. You know, take nothing for granted. Boston is a very good team. So we just want to just make sure we come to practice, work hard in practice, clean up the little mistakes, and do those things where we can give Boston a good game.
Coach Green, you got Bonds and Mata to contain. It's a pretty tough duo up there in Boston on terms of defense. So are you exclusively making some changes for that, or you know, how are you guys attacking those two runners?
Again, we just have to make sure that we do what we do. We're not going to change a whole lot. They have 11 great players on defense, 11 great players on offense, 11 great players that play special teams. So right now, we just want to make sure that we can control what we need to control on offense, defense, special teams, and put you know a head on someone. You know, if we do them things, we should be okay.
All right. You're not going to disclose your game plan for today, of course, because that doesn't make sense. But overall, can you tell us about the season then, your perspective on the league itself, the more visibility, the fact that we got a stadium, a championship stadium that's going to be over in Ohio? You know, do you think we're, like, making great strides at this point?
Oh, by all means. I give WFA a whole lot of credit for making this leap. And having a stadium for these ladies to play in, the Hall of Fame stadium, that's huge for this league, because I believe that women's sports need that notoriety, need that big stage. So we just looked at this whole NCAA, when we had the NCAA basketball tournament, the difference in the men's and the women's. So again, for the WFA to make this leap, and I think it says a whole lot about where they want to continue to take this league as they grow with it. So my hats off to them for that.
Yeah, and it's been a huge, you know, with COVID last year and all the changes that needed to happen and everything in the off season. Did you guys take advantage of that, Coach, as well in the 2020 just to get better fundamentally and take into account individual positioning? And, I mean, because it was just basically, you know, instructional more than anything, because nobody could be out there practicing in a sense. But a lot of the teams that I speak to are telling me that, you know, it was a good time for everybody to dive into coaching in terms of, like, just understanding the playbook better and understanding assignments and all that. Was that something that you guys did too?
Well, I can say that I actually have retired. I didn't really return to in front until maybe late October, November. But just being able to talk to a lot of the players, Jen Moody, which is the team owner, did a great job of doing off-season training, make sure that everyone came in with a mask, just keeping the ladies together and doing different drills and getting them bigger and stronger and faster. So that was just a credit goes out to the organization in whole until they decided that what they want to do going forward with it. So, yes, it was a lot of playbook stuff going on, because there wasn't a lot of coaching staff involved, but just being able to keep them conditioning, keep them mentally into the game, keep their bodies in shape. I think that goes out to the organization as a whole of what Tempe Inferno embodies.
Awesome. Candy and Juliet, did you guys do that as well? I know a lot of players were doing their own activities, building their own home gyms, you know, getting together with a couple folks to get the playbook done. So did you work on anything of that, Candy?
For me, it was a heavy workout focus, conditioning, staying in shape. As far as playbook goes, I feel like I've always been a sponge to it, so I know the playbook like the back of my hand, but conditioning was the most important thing, and making sure that, you know, COVID didn't get the best of getting us out of shape and being able to just really be able to jump back on the field when it was time.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are doing Zoom and stuff like that. Juliet, did you do any of that as well, the Zooming? Or, how did you stay motivated and into having game mode right before we came back to actual health practices?
So for me, relocating to Florida and being a rookie to this organization, I knew the season was coming. I'm huge on maintaining my body in the off season because I know another season is coming. It wasn't hard to stay motivated and to stay conditioned. I did do a lot of Zoom calls with the team, preseason playbook, and stuff like that. So getting ready for this season was fairly easy. With just the bigger aspect of just being in shape, coming in shape.
I know a lot of players had the, you know, their own mentality to create their own gym and do all weird type of things that you would consider weird, but COVID was weird in itself. So, Candy, did you do anything specific to stay dived in? I mean, physical fitness, change of diet or any of that stuff?
Actually, I did do a diet change. I ended up losing about 20 pounds, actually, during the pandemic. And then I was doing a CG camp with Marion Jones, so I kind of locked into that pretty heavy and just became a member of that, and that was helpful because it's kind of like the HIIT-style workouts that lets you work everything. So I was able to just do it right from my garage, so it was helpful staying conditioned there and then had a pretty good outdoor space to where I could move around a little bit and run around a little bit. So I kind of got really focused on that. And it was just helpful, you know, with transitioning my body as a whole, getting some different workouts in. So that was my go-to.
Coach Green, offensively, you guys have been pretty high-powered in terms of scoring and getting into that red zone. Obviously, Kim, veteran quarterback there. So, you know, what do you attribute the, you know, the red zone success, in other words, getting into the end zone frequently?
I guess for as far as, just getting great field position, being able to move the ball. You know, sometimes it's not all about, it's all about not a quick strike for us, but just trying to take advantage of some of the things that the defense give us. So one thing that we do always talk about and practice a lot is our red zone. What kind of looks we'll get and some things of that nature, just so we can be prepared for the red zone. So we'll work on our red zone probably about twice a week, just to make sure that once we get in the red zone, because we can't afford to leave points, 6 points, without scoring. So when we face the teams, you know, like a DC or a Boston, we know, you know, once you get in that red zone, you got to come away with more than 6 points. I mean, so with that being said, so we have to be able to put some points on the board.
Now, run a balance attack on there. Is that something you make at the red zone point at this point, or throw? I mean, you guys have been pretty much on the ground most of the year, right? So, are you able to do both at this point, or is it just going to be the circumstance?
It just depends on what the defense gives us. We try to be as balanced as possible. But what we want to do is just take what they give us. If we could get a chance to pass the ball, I tell people all the time, I love to throw the ball. I mean, Kim Shaw has done a great job throwing the ball for us the past few seasons. So once we get a chance to throw the ball, we want to throw the ball. If we get a chance to run it, take advantage of that as well.
Coach, it's going to be a big moment because most average fans, we don't have a fanfare like a social media, like an NFL, but for us, it's a big moment. You got Shaw versus Cahill, 20-year vet versus kind of another vet in terms of clashes, in terms of quarterback. So that's kind of a storyline for us that on the media side. Do you really see it that way as well, too, or no?
I can't really speak for Kim Shaw. I can just tell you what she may say it's just about Inferno. It's not like a individual sport. We know both of them, you know, have paved their way to where they are right now. But for us, it's all about what we do as a team going forward. You know, their moments, you know, stat-wise will always be there, what they've done before and what they will continue to do afterwards. But right now, it's all about what we do as an offensive unit, what we do as a defensive unit, so the team unit, and as a team.
Now, Candy, Juliet, you guys see Kim every day. I'm pretty sure, you know, Boston sees Cahill every day. She's put in 20 seasons. There's players in this league that bail out after 8 to 10 seasons. So pretty impressive, don't you think, in terms of dedication and coming in year out?
Yeah, absolutely. Charles, my sister, my big sister, in a sense. And all 12 years that I've been on that field, I've been on the field with her. So, you know, just seeing her dedication and determination, like, year after year, no matter what, you know, she's going to come out there and she's going to do what Kim Shaw does, and she's going to be, you know, an inferno player. So I commend it, you know, even when she says she's done, even when she says she retired, she still comes back and gives one more and still, you know, does what she does. So, you know, it's impressive to see, and definitely somebody who inspires me and motivates me to be able to continue to get out there, for sure.
Juliet, I mean, Kim has done a lot of things that most quarterbacks in this league are not consistent at, and she's been very consistent throughout her career. She's played on good teams, not enough to where, you know, you're a playoff team every year, but she's been able to stay consistent. And so this is a big moment, I think, in my eyes, this is a big moment for her, because she's taken a team against a big bear, and she's also facing what most consider a legendary quarterback in terms of Cahill.
Yeah, no doubt. Kim Shaw being here for 20 years, hopefully we can keep her for another five, speaks on her work ethic as a quarterback, as a leader on this team. This is my first year with her, and hands down, the best quarterback I've ever played with, the best leader that I could ask for. There's no doubt in my mind that we are all going to level up when we get to Boston, and that she's going to get the job done.
Yeah, Coach Green, I mean, this would be a big moment for her, the organization, yourself, your team in general, if it comes down to a clash of champions here, because that's what it's going to boil down to. And everybody that follows the WFA knows this is it, Division One. This is where everybody wanted, you know, you guys to be here as well. Boston, everybody knows, was the top dog in the East Coast. You guys are on the Southern Hemisphere, but at the same time, it's like you guys are top-notch as well. So this is going to be a really good matchup for us fans to kind of witness.
I can honestly tell you that if I wasn't coaching in it, this would be one of them games that you would want to pay for to come watch. It should be a really great game. We know that Boston has been the bear, as you call them, for so long. Something about us, you know, we have a certain mentality that we like to just, you know, come with every game. It should be a very fun game. It should be a very fun game to witness.
All right, Candy, Juliet, you guys have seen Mata and Bonds on the national stage. You guys have seen Smith on the international stage. There's just a lot of playmakers on that squad with a lot of pedigree. So this is going to be a challenge in itself in terms on the defensive side for you guys. But it looks to me like you guys are ready for some hard-nosed football.
Yeah, absolutely. It's athletes versus athletes. And that's just as simple as put. It doesn't matter if they're playing for Boston, we're playing for Tampa. You know, we're all athletes at the end of the day. So, you know, we just got to go out there and we just got to be the athletes that we are. You know, I don't care about names. I don't care about reputations. I just care about what we have to do to get the job done on the field. And that's, you know, where I stand with it. So, you know, athletes against athletes, you know, they got to stop us just like we got to stop them. So.
All right. So I'm going to kind of throw you some quizzes here. So Coach Green, we're going to take this game aside, and we're just going to go to the other bracket, because I know you're watching closely on the other side, but we got Minnesota Cali War this weekend. I know it's far away from you yet, but you know, so it's Cali War, Minnesota, very impressive this year with Cooper and company. That's going to be a big class there. You also have Nevada, Houston this weekend. You got Detroit, Jax, you got Arizona, Iowa, you got Derby and Knockout. So there's a lot of exciting matchups in this league, and I think this is where we want to be, right? We want to be able to kind of like grab the popcorn and the Coke and sit around and start just watching exciting football.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So if you really think about it, you know, that weekend It's like watching, you know, football on a Saturday. When you go from one station to another station to get great games, and all those games start at 3:30 or at 7 o'clock, this is how that Saturday will be. I don't care what part of the country that you are in, you're going to be able to watch some great women's football on the tilt. You know, wherever you may be, if you're not able to get there personally, you know, get your popcorns and get ready to watch some great WFA women's football. Couldn't be a better matchup for conference play, championship games. So it should be very exciting, very exciting.
Juliet, it's get in or go home. That's literally what it is this weekend. There's a lot of teams with that mindset. Some of them are coming in here, you know, making a name for themselves, and others are pretty staple. But I'm looking for all the upsets. That's what I'm looking for.
Definitely looking forward to all the upsets. One thing I know for sure about Inferno is we're going to rise to the occasion, hands down. It's going to be a great dogfight game, and just hope everybody's ready for a good show.
All right, I'm going to give you a hashtag, Flames Up. Why don't you use the hashtag now, this week, Flames Up. That way you guys get ready to go.
I like that, absolutely. We can do it.
I like that. Thank you.
Everything flames
up. Yeah, so it's been really awesome. Thanks to Jen for making it happen for you guys to be here today. So I really appreciate you guys making the time. Pretty exciting. I wanted to bring you guys on because you guys deserve this spotlight. You guys deserve this attention. And, you know, given everything you guys have put into the program. And then, you know, to be D1 this year, Coach, it was different than any other year because it was somewhat limited in terms of how many teams are in D1, and it kind of spread out in that sense. So I'm hoping next year, you know, some of the D2 powerhouse teams that came into about this year will kind of upgrade there. It'll make travel for you guys probably less costly, and at the same time, competition is what we want.
By all means. I think when you look at D1, I think D1, if you want to define it, it's like the Rose Bowl, you know, the Big Daddy. So I think that, you know, if you want competition, you know, week in and week out, D1 is where you want to be. So, yeah, sometimes being in the South here in this state, you don't have a lot of D1 teams. But being able to have that week in and week out competition, I think is something that, for me, as a coach, you want that competition. So being able to play the teams of a D.C. As well as a Boston says a lot how they have been powerhouses, like seems like forever.
Yeah, it's been a change, I think. But, you know, we got to give credit to the WFA. They've been in existence for over 10 years. They've done a good job trying to get sponsorships and things like that. Candy, as a player, 12 years in, did you anticipate we'd be here at this stage? We got, you know, you're on For the Fans weekly broadcast, your, you know, social media buzz on various social platforms. It's just a matter of getting paid at some point down the road here, but I think we're making pretty good strides.
Yeah, definitely. I think the game is always, you know, being pushed forward. And, you know, for me, it's like even if I'm not part of that that group that gets pushed forward and is able to actually reap the benefits by, you know, monetary value from this game, as long as I'm paving the way for somebody else, to me, that's the most important thing because, you know, we work hard and we deserve it. But, you know, I do expect, you know, it to be moving in this place as, you know, there become more women refs in the NFL and coaches and, you know, that spotlight continue to be highlighted on women's sports. You know, I see, you know, it continue to happen for us. So, you know, it's only hopes that the game just continues to grow and grow at a faster pace, you know, than it is now because, you know, it deserves to go in that direction.
I know, Juliet, you've played in Texas. Flags big in Texas. 8-on-8 big in Texas. So 11 it's just a matter of when we get to that next stage, and I think having two competitive leagues now is really bringing more attention. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Just with, you know, more coaches and owners and trainers and referees, the more leagues we have out here, the more exposure we get. The league, women's football in general, has grown tremendously over the last 10 or 15 years. So it's just a matter of time, and I'm just excited to be around to see it when it happens.
Yeah, inspiration is the word that a lot of players tell me, as Candy said here, just trying to inspire the next generation. Flag is going to be huge. I know Coach Green, Flag is huge in Florida. It's not so much in other states, but in Florida it's a huge recruitment-type mentality, and hopefully it's going to get to almost every major state. That way it makes it easier for some of the 11 teams to recruit.
Yes, I totally agree. Flag football here in this state has grown over the last few years. I know one thing that what we have done, again, thanks to our owner, Jim Moody, and Laura Johnson, our GM, has made sure that we do a lot with the Flags teams here in our county. Before COVID, we would give all the high schools tickets, free tickets, come and watch us play, just so that the young ladies can see that there's something else at the high school that they want to get involved in, you know, doing college and or even after college. So again, we've always tried to, even at the little league level, we've always tried to do something in our community to make sure that the can see that there's ladies that are actually doing this in a even though it's Tiger football, but just trying to pave the way and support them for what they're doing as well.
Candy, do you think the future is Flag through for the 11s to survive or to for one of these leagues to become pro?
Nah, I wouldn't think so, because I think that nobody's going to be content with Flag. You know, we can all transition to Flag and be able to have a little bit of fun with it, but I think that tackle is definitely the way for us, because so many people enjoy it. And if you really look at how many leagues there are, how many women in the country want to play tackle football, you know, I don't think it's going to die.
Julia, you have the same feeling in Texas, because you came from Texas, and it's huge in Texas in terms of Flag, right?
Yeah, Flag is actually a pretty big deal in Texas. But I agree with Candy. I don't think it's the future. I think 11-man tackle is the future. Definitely way more exciting. Flag is something, you know, most women that do play tackle do it to stay in shape, have a little fun, and let loose, and kind of just get a group of girls together, even though it is super competitive and there are major tournaments and competitions and the NFL is trying to pick it up and stuff like that. But hands down, tackle is definitely the future.
All right, guys, thanks for making the time. I really, really appreciate it. It's an honor for me to interview you guys and speak to you guys. I wish you well this weekend coming up here against Boston. I think July 10th is the date, which is it seems like it's going to be tomorrow, basically. Coach Green, anything for the fans of the Inferno, where they can dive in to help you guys fundraise or go to the website? How are you guys doing with that?
Yes, so just for anyone who wants, you can go to the Tempe Inferno Facebook page or Tempe TBI.org website as well. You have information on there that is posted to help fundraisers, or just reach out from the Facebook page to our owner, and she can send you the link to the Cash App as well.
So we had a Cash App and Venmo as well, Candy, or do we just
Correct.
Have just the – yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a Cash App. We have a Venmo. We also have PayPal. We are doing a big raffle right now where we have some Bucks merch that we're raffling off, an autographed ball, 40-inch TV, and some other fan gear. So we're doing that raffle right now. And, again, like Coach said, you can go to Tampa Bay Inferno Women's Tackle Football on Facebook, TB Inferno on Instagram, and the website tbinferno.com.
Yes,
all right.
So I forgot about the my mind has been straight on something else. But yes, there is a autograph, an authentic autograph signed football by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Shaquille Barrett. So we have an autograph, which we are wrapping off for $5, as well as a 40-inch television as well for $5. And that drawing will be on the 14th of July. So go to the Facebook page as well as the team's website for more information as well.
All right. Juliet, any last words for Inferno fans as we, you guys get ready for July 10th?
Just want to thank everybody for all of the love and the support that they've given us over the years and this year, and keep rooting us on.
All right, Coach Green, wish you luck in Boston. Candy, I know you're going to have a great performance, Juliet as well. Getting excited for this clash against Boston, a big D1 mentality matchup here for us fans and media. But, Coach Green, great job this year to you and your coaching staff as well, and to all the ballers on your squad.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you, WFA, for the opportunity for women's football as well.
All right, Candy, I'll see you guys on the victory lane, as they say, on July 10th. So that's what we're looking for. So should be pretty exciting clash and weekend, and we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as me, I'm just locked in and ready to go, you know, ready to get these few practices in and, just get to it.
All right, hashtag flames up. Just put it on Instagram and
flames
get
up.
It going.
Flames yeah. up. Thank you.
All right. Tampa Bay Inferno in the house. So we're looking forward to their clash against Boston. Thank you, Coach Green and Candy Thompson and Juliet Turner for making some time today. We're looking forward to your clash.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You.
Thank you. All right, guys. That was Tampa Bay Inferno, Coach Johnny Green, including Candy Thompson and Juliet Turner. The Tampa Bay Inferno will be taking on the Big Bear, the multi-time champion Boston Renegades in the Women's Football Alliance July 10th. So that's going to be the next round. We're also going to have Cali War taking on Minnesota. So a lot of the clashes on there. If you haven't gone to the Hub, I don't know what to tell you. You need to go to the Hub at facebook.com/GridironBeauties. It's the best network on the planet. That's where you get the lowdown on everything that's happening in the sport overseas plus domestically. So a good clash of champions. Mata versus Thompson here. Cahill versus Shaw. I don't know about you, but I'm giddy. And popcorn and everything else ready to go. So hashtag flames up. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go on Instagram after this podcast, and we're going to start trending that up. So Tampa Bay Inferno in the house, and they're going to be taking on the Boston Renegades. We're going to have Mark Simone coming in here with multi-time champion Boston Renegade Aaron Truex in about a half hour here, and then we're going to be talking WFA, WNFC, and everything that's happening in terms of the playoff scene as we get ready towards the July 10th clash in the WFA plus this coming weekend in terms of the chase for the Nine Cup in terms of the WNFC. If you guys haven't subscribed to our podcast, make sure you go to the Apple Podcast. Get the link right there on our Facebook page. You can also get the link on our stories. So check it out. You can pretty much subscribe, and I really, really appreciate it. And then last weekend's episode that we had, one of our biggest episodes in terms of listenership, which was really awesome, and that was when we interviewed the talented Gina Magana of the Utah Falcons, as well as Marissa Goldston of the Fierce Beauty. So really thank them, too, for coming on and giving us a boost as well. And thank you to all our listeners for giving us that lift as well. There's action happening overseas. So let's talk about that before we bring in Mark Simone here in the house. And we're going to be getting pretty much some excitement here. And so we'll go here. Let's see here. The roundup that we have. If the notice, so we have Tampere Saints in Finland, 2-0 on the season. You get the article right there from Finland, and you can use Google Translate if you need to there. So in season is right there, and then you also have the other noted. If you haven't noted, we're going to talk to Mark about it, but he's the one that actually posted it, and it was Vanessa Oksasuna, if I'm pronouncing it right, Oksasuna of the Boston Renegades. Finished the 21 season with a perfect kicking percentage of point afters, 24 by 24. So pretty awesome stat. We don't normally keep stats in the WFA so long, but this year and last year, in the last couple of years, we've been able to keep pretty good stats in terms of players, and I think it makes a difference for us to kind of dive into some numbers as well. In Italy, the Italian American Football Cup, the Italian Cup, was on this weekend, the 27th, and that had to do with a couple teams that came in, and they played at Massa City Stadium. You get the photos right there of the lowdown of everything that happened at the Italian Cup. The Italian Cup, one of the events in terms of 7-on-7 that they had scheduled this year. I don't believe they're going to have the regular CIFAF season, and that the results were Seren 22-0 against the Pirates. It was 28-0, the Pirates against the White Tigers. The Pirates 8-0 against Apunana. Seren 32-0 against the White Tigers, and Seren 46-0 against Apunana. So it was kind of like a round-robin one-day event, and it was played basically in that mode, and it's pretty interesting. So if you guys get to go to the Pirates Female Division website, or you can go directly to the feed app on Facebook, you're able to get the lowdown right there as well in terms of the action. We did share some of the moments and photo stills of the action there. You also have action in Mexico, week three action in Mexico, impressive week one route that had the Troyanas on a high, but tough battle in week two versus the Ravens as they get edged 15-13, and in week three, 15-7 against the Black Snakes. So in week four, they will face the big dogs in terms of the Monterrey Elite League. And that will be they will be facing the Silver Wings for the top bragging rights right there in terms of the Monterrey League. So really excited to be covering them in terms of the Liga Elite Football Americana Femenil. So we're just going to call it Monterrey Elite. That just makes it much easier. Final week four as well, an impressive start in 2021 for the high-powered Silver Wings, who are undefeated, has them undefeated after 3 weeks, outscoring opponents 59-0. That's a week. That's just impressive, and they are obviously on a roll. You get to watch the highlights there from the matchup as well. You also have week three, an impressive week one win, had the Ravens flying high, and then a week two battle with Troyanas they couldn't overcome with a 15-13 loss. So in terms of a week three, they get a 20-0 shutout of the Rockets, who are 1-2. Ravens look to face the Black Snakes, also 1-2 in the next week that's coming up here in week four. So we'll keep in tabs on them. The next action that happened in Mexico was a rocky start by the Cowgirls in their first 2 weeks of the season. Gets them a shutout with 13-0 versus the Raiders, who are 0-3. The Cowgirls improved to 1-2 as they prepare to face the Wolverines, also 2-1 in the campaign, the 2021 campaign. The other matchup here, just running down, a rebound game by the Wolfpack after a tough week two loss versus Wolverines. Sets up the Wolfpack 2-1 for a 24-0 shutout of the Autenticas. So that's pretty impressive wins there. And then we got, if you go to the hub, we got previews of everything that's coming up with the WNFC. That's pretty impressive previews. Can the Lady Panthers take down the big dog, which is the Texas Elite Spartans? Can the Kansas City Glory, compete and take down Alabama? So that's in the Atlantic. In the other side of the bracket, we have the San Diego Rebellion and their defense led by Mercedes Lewis. Can they overcome Vegas? Vegas is really that they played them in season. They did get the win there. A different team for Vegas since they've had almost, a week or so off. I know Deion Lee's probably, looking out forward to this. So it's going to be a really interesting matchup between Vegas and San Diego. And then La Muerte, Billy Avalos and company, and La Muerte, Regina Escoto and company, can they, be competitive against the Utah Falcons, against Gina Magana and our own Holly Custis? So really interesting matchups in the WNFC. You get some of the preview and teasers right there at the hub at facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. That is the place to be. The best network on the planet exists right there because we love women's American football, and that's what we do weekly, every week. try to keep up with everything that's happening in the sport overseas, internationally, as well as domestically. So there's also an interview by Sports and Culture Sports Media, interviewed Marcos de la Nisa, kicker, and our own No Joke Football athlete, Kristen Moore, and she was interviewed there in terms of her stuff. You also get the reveal of the chase for the Nine Cup, and that's where we get, just gave you the lowdown as to the top elite teams in the WNFC and what's going to happen there. X-League announces they will be announcing full plans for X-League UK, and that will be announced, I believe, today, and we'll keep an eye on terms of what the scope will be of that. And then they also announced that they are partnering with industry-leading Sway Medical Technology, aiding in the diagnosis of head injuries. You get the press release right there at the hub from Xwire press release as well. And overseas news, MVP, the Finland MVP of 2020, MVP Annie Alanko, will be going overseas as well. She was playing with Wolverines, so now she's going to be going, I believe, to Germany, if I'm correct. Or I'm sorry, Germany, Sweden. My notes. She's going to go to Sweden to play for Karlstad Crusaders. And then the final IWFA matchup was Texas Legacy routing the RGV Lynx 49-0 to advance to the championship next week against Austin Ravens, which would be this coming weekend. So it'll be the Austin Ravens trying to defend their title against Texas Legacy. These two teams know themselves very well. Both coaching staffs know themselves very well. All the players know themselves very well. Should be a very competitive matchup here in terms of the Icon Women's Football Association 2021 championship. So looking forward to see what the clash will be this weekend as well. The final scores are up there for the WNFC as well, plus the WFA. Don't forget to check out the latest Cleat Sheets podcast, which we're going to bring in Aaron Truex here in a couple minutes here. Check out the Moose Raylander and Aaron Redwood Truett on the Cleat Sheets podcast. You get the link right there. You can listen to it on Apple, iHeart, Spotify, just like you listen to ours. So check it out right there. You can get the link on the latest one. Or the playoff games in the WFA, all of them were shared. So you got to watch the Arizona Outcast versus the Capital Pioneers Facebook Live, and that was the feed that they provided to us. You also had to watch Town Square TV for the Minnesota Vixen live games. DC Divas had their Facebook Live for their matchup as well. And then the New York Knockout finished the season 7-0. Very impressive season for D3 Knockout. And they are obviously Northeast regional champs. And they take down Capital City 25-20 in a very big battle there. So congratulations to New York as well. And then Jacksonville as well edges Miami in a very defensive, tough battle, 8-0. So it's really, really interesting in terms of the outcomes. You get to watch Nevada against Mile High, a very interesting game, and that was on CSTVnow.com. So pretty awesome, interesting matchups this past weekend in terms of the WFA. So we're going to dive into the WFA here right after the Monkey Knife Fight promo, and we're going to be bringing in Mark Simone in the house.
Fight is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
So you go to the Monkey Knife Fight website and you can play NBA, NHL, PGA, anything else. Use our code NJF. You get started today, $5 free play. So get hooked up and help us out with the podcast as well, and then make some money. You can do more or less. That's what I play. So you put in $5, you can make up to $15 if you get both right. The more money you put in $300, you're obviously going to make $900. So depending on your intuition, you can make some pretty good dough at monkeyknifefight.com. All right, let's bring in the backseat coach. That's a.k.a. Mark Simone in the house. How you doing, Mark?
I'm melting. How are you?
Melting? That's like ice cream. That's not good.
It's pretty hot where I'm at. I'm in Maine. It was 95 degrees today and quite humid. Okay, we can't touch the Pacific Northwest for hot weather right now, but we're feeling it over here. up in the Northeast too. Pretty hot day.
All
today.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure Holly had no shoes left at 108 degree temperature on the field.
I'm sure.
I was like, oh my God, I feel for you. I told her 108 degrees. Oh, that's hot. That's not even funny hot. That's like oven hot.
It is. It's bananas.
All right, we just got through talking and chatting with Tampa Bay Inferno Coach Green and Candy Thompson and Gillette Turner, and I did tell them, you know, hashtag flames up, so I guess they're going to go with it. So it's let's just do it now. They're going to be taking on your Boston Renegades. So they know what's up ahead of them. They are focused on Inferno Ball. I think that's a good approach for now.
That's right. These two teams faced each other in 2019. I think it might have been the first game of the season. So, and I think that was Tampa Bay's first time facing a Division I opponent outside of the, you know, playoffs from like maybe 2016 or 2015. So they have experience. They faced Boston before. So these teams know each other a little bit. They're both really good, well-run organizations. They have a lot in common, to be honest. You know, their offense is looking really good. That offensive line that they've got there is something else. Their quarterback, Shaw, is a very experienced quarterback. Been in the league, I think, longer than pretty much anybody else in the league. They have a lot of really good things to work with in Tampa Bay. So I'm not surprised that they've had the successful season that they've had. They've been, you know, working toward this over the last few years, and now they're in Division I after, you know, having some very successful years in Division II. They didn't, you know, twice lost to St. Louis in the national championship game in Division II. But their goal over time was to become a Division I team. So now here they are, and they've reached the conference finals. And I think it's going to be a fun football game on July 10th.
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk WFA right now as we bring in Aaron Truex in a couple minutes here. And then we're going to dive into the last 30 minutes of the podcast, just diving into the WFA. But let's kick off WNFC, Mark. I called it. Mississippi upset of Bama, no surprise. I wasn't surprised. They were on a roll. They were playing good, and Regina Jackson reminds me of Michael Vick a lot. So I think she's very very elusive and also very exciting to watch.
Well, she's kind of the key to the Panthers' success. Really, you know, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. When she has a good game, they win the game. If she throws some touchdowns and doesn't put the yards, you know, rushing yards down, then they lose, which we saw in the first two games of the season. It's really interesting actually to look at their schedule. Looking back now, after taking those first two losses, they had a 2-week bye, and they turned it around. In their first two games, they averaged 6 points a game on offense. And then after the break, they put up, you know, scores of 34, 21, 21, 26. So that's like, you know, tripling their first two games, each game. And then on the defensive side of the ball, in the first two games, they gave up 38 points and 34 points. And then after the break, the next four games, they let up 13, 17, 6, and 14. It's just like they flipped a switch. I don't know what happened in those 2 weeks of the bye, but they got their stuff together, and you know, they put out a nice four-game winning streak, and you know, they finished the season upsetting one of the top teams in the league, and they're on a roll. And this is how you want to go into the playoffs. You can't ask for more, for this situation, for this team. They're going to the playoffs on a high, and now they get to take on the big one, you know?
Well, I can tell you that, Mark. Maybe they were angry because they got beat down on week one, 38-6. They're just like, we're not going to beat down again.
No, nice, and they didn't. And they took it to the fire, too.
Oh,
beat
yeah.
by two. You know?
No, it was a great game. I mean, to me, it was like, I wouldn't say Alabama was flat, but I think offensively, Mississippi really got, once they got going, Alabama defense really started to wear down, and I think that was the key for them for the win.
Yeah, and I think that's a good it's a good strategy for the Panthers to just grind down on the other defense. Like you said before, Regina Jackson is, you know, she's got a couple ways to beat you on any play. Like she can throw the ball. And she can run. And so it's really hard for defenses to stop her. Whoever, you know, any team that faces them is going to have to figure out how to stop Regina Jackson. And if they can't do that, then they better find a way to put up some points.
Mark, let's talk realistic here. They're taking on the Spartans. I'm assuming, to your point here, if the Spartans find a way to contain Jackson, is it Mississippi one and done? Are they done? That's her. She's the leading rusher. She's the leading passer. There's no other receiver in besides Ida Edwards, and no other receiver has more than one touchdown in the whole season. She's the one that has 9 touchdowns. So if you're Texas Elite Spartans, you got one obstacle to. You take that down, and I guess you got an easy night the way they've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, unless the Panthers have, like, an ace up their sleeve and they have another player that can elevate their game, then, yes, I would agree with you. You know, if the Spartans can contain Jackson, then the Panthers' chances of winning are very, very low. They, you know, it's great to have a dynamic player like Jackson, but what do you do when that person is taken out of the game plan somehow? You got to have another, you know, players to step up, and so we know that the Spartans are going to be keyed in on Regina Jackson, and if they stop her, we're gonna see, you know, who else the Panthers have, because you know, I don't know.
This is gonna be a tall task for the Mississippi defense. So I'm calling you out, Mississippi, right now. This is gonna be a tall task for the defense, because Mark, you know, Yarbrough, Green, Hill, just alone, oh, my God, like 2,000 yards almost combined, and probably like 25 touchdowns, okay? So not including Bushman. So,
right.
I don't want to scare anybody, but I haven't even thrown in Landry in the mix. So,
right.
Yeah.
But this is the thing
so
about
if
Mississippi.
You're Mississippi,
like,
Their
defense is kind of an X factor. It's kind of an X factor in here. You know, if they read their keys and keep their assignments and do their job, you know, what's that going to look like? Obviously, no one else has been able to do that and stop Texas. But and there are many weapons that they do have. But, you know, you got to. This is why they play the game. So let's see it. I want to see the best performance from the Panthers defense, because they got to have it. If they don't have it,
Griswold and Guidry to the mix on the other side. So Griswold and Guidry are going to have the pleasure of trying to contain Regina Jackson. So that's going to be a challenge for them. But on the other side, like I said, Mississippi D, if you're listening, my God, you got to write down all those names. because they're all factors once they get going. So they got a really this is a big test for where the Mississippi program is, right, Mark? This is really what we're boiling down to. That's what we're saying.
Sure. I mean, this is you're going up against the best. It's the playoffs. You don't get a second chance at them this season. So, you know, you got to lay it all on the line. And you know, cuz there's no tomorrow. So, and I think Mississippi is the type of team that can rise to that sort of occasion. Can they win? That's a completely different question. Can they play like they're going to win? Yeah, I think they can play.
Yeah. I'm not betting my mortgage on it, but, yeah, I agree with you. All right. So are you surprised at the rankings that came out? A lot of Bandit players, lots of comments on social media. I want to say Bandit players, if you look at the strength of schedule for what you did versus what the other teams did, the reasoning why Las Cruces got the nod, it's just really that's what it is. Okay, and then Las Cruces did beat you in season, so that gives them an edge as well. Even though you played at great football towards down the stretch, it wasn't against any top five or top eight ranked team. So that's a big difference. Where La Muerte did play number one and number two. And so that's a nod for them. They did take care of business against Phoenix in really good fashion, right? So not surprised that Las Cruces is fourth. I don't know if Las Cruces was coming in and going, okay, we're fourth, great. And then, oh, by the way, you have the Utah Falcons.
Well, you know, I can certainly empathize with the players on Denver. Because they did play, you know, they played the teams on their schedule and, they had a good season. Right. But in the sort of end equation, taking that loss to Las Cruces was a big deal. And there was sort of like, there's nothing left on their schedule after that could make up for it. They could have beaten Phoenix by 100 points, and it wouldn't have got them over that hump. You know, I feel bad for them, but you know, I can't in my heart say that I think Denver should have gotten in over Las Cruces.
Yeah, no, and the reason I'm saying that is because if you look at the bottom line strength of schedule, if Denver had beaten Las Cruces, I really think the committee would have weighed that into their favor. But at the same time, if you take the rankings process, okay, Las Cruces has been top 10 majority of the season, while Denver has been 12th or higher ranked. So there's a difference there.
There is. I mean, I definitely, you know, heard some of the arguments from some of the Denver fans and players, and you know they do make sense. I'm you know, like when teams are ranked early in the season, it's hard for them to overcome that if they're ranked in the bottom of the pack or somewhere in the middle, as opposed to being, you know, ranked higher, right? And that all just comes down to that first game, right? Did you win that first game?
Right.
And it becomes hard to overcome. And you could see it for Denver throughout the season. They're always kind of like, you know, 13, 12, 11. They just couldn't get enough traction to get up past some of these other teams. Again, because, you know, their schedule just didn't have, you know, it didn't have enough opponents that could propel them upwards into the standings. And that's, you know, what can I say? That's just bad luck. You know,
yeah, and I think
you know, maybe Denver is Las Cruces.
If they meet Las Cruces, they get in.
You know,
I really think that would have been the factor if you had a wave in that thing.
Yeah, you got to win.
So Denver, if you're thinking of the off season, just understand, you know, win every game, you got a better chance to get in. Just win every game, and then win the crucial game. Like you said, week one was really crucial for them. If they had beaten Las Cruces, I think, like I said, the committee and everybody else would have considered that a lot better in terms of their – but overall, they had a good season. They should be happy with the success of their season to build on for 2022. I think that's a key for that. I'm not shocked that Florida beat Philly, because I think I mentioned it last podcast that this was going to be a deciding factor whether Philly got into the dance or not. And the Avengers were picking up steam, and somehow late in this game, the Avengers said, we're winning this, and they play spoiler.
Yeah. We talked a lot about, you know, being spoilers last week, and you nailed it, and you know, you told me in conversation, I think that might have been, just between you and I, but, you know, you pointed out to me that Florida has played their games close all season. Like, they haven't gotten totally blown out, you know, that they always played tough, and that they were, you know, that they're in that spoiler position, and they truly were. And that's exactly what they did. And, it really bit down on Philly. They were looking like they would be in if they just hold on to win that game against Florida, and now they're completely out of it. So good call.
Take a look at Philly. We had talked about all season about penalties, being consistent on offense, and all that, and I think Florida really took advantage of some of that, and they just put up more points than they could. And they holding them to 3 points, you know, what a impressive performance by the Florida Avenger defense.
No doubt, because, you know, Philly has point scorers. Like, they can score some points. So that's pretty impressive. And that's something that I'm going to remember next season when we're talking about these teams.
Now, Kansas City gets into the dance, Mark, and they're in the same boat as La Muerte, right? They get into the dance, and now Kansas City is going to be taking on Alabama. So Matty Rosas and company, this is an opportunity for – and Taylor Hay, this is an opportunity for a upset, because Alabama comes off that loss to Mississippi, and if they can't get over the hump here, this is a huge letdown for Alabama if they can't get this one.
Yeah, you know, I mean – this is a pretty good position, really, for Kansas City to be in, because we're asking ourselves, like, you know, is Alabama, you know, shaken up by taking that loss?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is this the opportunity for Kansas City to take advantage of that? Now, unfortunately, we don't know how competitive Kansas City's going to be. Like, the only thing they've done this season is beat Houston twice. And, I don't know, Nebraska? So, there's not much to go on there. I personally don't think they earn their spot in the playoff. I feel like Washington should be in there. That's my opinion.
I talked about that last week, too. I had that same feeling that I felt like the Prodigy should have gotten the nod in there because of, like you said before, the tough battles with Atlanta and everybody else on their schedule. So I don't know what the factor behind it was. I put in my 2 cents into it, and then at that point it was weighted overall with everybody else. So Kansas City gets the edge here based on everybody else's perspective. And so this is a huge test for Matty Rosa and company here. Huge test because Alabama, if they wake up again, this is going to be a tough team to beat. But if they can overcome and survive and maybe win this, this is going to be a big deal for them because they'll either get to face Texas once again. And that'll be like, the third time in season?
For Kansas City? Yeah, it would be the third time.
I mean, you already had 2 black eyes. I don't know. Would you need torn kneecaps?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean – You got to play who you got to play. So, but right now, you know, I would say that Kansas City has the best spot really in the bracket, in the Atlantic bracket. They're going up against, you know, I mean, not that Alabama Fire is an easy win, you know, far from it. But they did kind of back into the playoffs by taking that loss to Mississippi. We don't know if they're shook up. We don't know, you know, if they are going to come out strong. So this is Kansas City's opportunity to prove that, really prove to everybody, especially me, that they belong in the playoffs. And if they get that win, no matter who they face, that's, you know, that's the biggest win of their season right there.
All right, Mark, I got a scenario for you. I got some submissions on Facebook. Let's go over them because I think everybody's totally excited. Kansas City beats Alabama as an example. Texas takes down Mississippi. Now we got is it a disappointing KC Texas matchup if we look ahead? If you
I
got Kansas
think
City against
so.
Yeah, I think it is. If we get Alabama Mississippi, if there is obviously a huge upset, and that's a prayer that we got to put out there.
right.
Maybe different outcome. But it might be Alabama-Texas. That would be more interesting, but given the performance of the Fire the last couple weeks, I don't know even if that matters at this point in the Atlantic.
Right. But they have shown earlier in the season that they've got something happening. So I think that could be an interesting matchup.
So we're not ordering the pizza ahead of time, but just to let you guys know that's what's in our heads. Maybe anchovies or pepperoni only, but that's what's on our heads right now as we look at the Atlantic.
We are drinking the cream soda already, though.
Oh, we are. We are. And the Slurpee is on Brian Sweeney's desk. I can tell you that right now. All right. Pacific seed. If you're Las Cruces at this point, you get another opportunity to face the Falcons. And really game plan for this. This is a game of your life. You already got a crack at them once. If you're Las Cruces, this is a matchup you want, and this is at the biggest stage that you want. So I don't know what to tell La Muerte, but this is your moment. And if it's going to be an upset, this is where you make the upset.
That's right. You know, the Utah Falcons, they're the tops. They've been on top. It's like Las Cruces faced them before several times in their past. They know what's coming. They know what they have to – they know what they need to do. But can they do it? That's all it is. It's just building capacity toward somehow chipping away at the Falcons' dominance. But, yeah, it's, you know, what happened in the regular season, it doesn't matter anymore. You're in the playoffs. This is one game. Again, just, you know, you just got to lay it all on the line.
I know for a fact Holly Custis isn't going to this game to lose, if I know her mindset. She's not walking in thinking she's going to lose. So that's the Hall of Famer right there. And we already know what Gina Magana is all about, Louise Bean's all about offensively. It's a tough hurdle, not to say that La Muerte can't win, but let me just say that's what I'm saying right now, I guess.
The odds are long. Like I said, that's why they play the games.
They got to play really good ball offensively if they want to stay competitive, because they put a donut, and once the Falcons D got going, they just got shut down. So the key, Mark, I think it's going to be Tagaloa. How can she respond to this big game pressure?
Yeah, they can't take time to get their footing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need to be on the ball at the beginning of the game. They can't let Utah jump out, you know, a couple scores ahead. If they get up two scores ahead of you, it's basically over. You got to stay close. You know, you got to stay close with them for as long as you can, and then maybe you get some breaks in the game, turnovers, penalties, whatever. You might just get that break that will give you a chance to win. That's, you know, it's kind of the best that you can can hope for when you play a team like the Falcons. Just try and keep it close and not let the game get out of hand.
Yeah, you can't let that happen, especially against the Falcons. Falcons is literally repeat, rinse. Can you stop it? It's really what it boils down to.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a meat and potatoes approach to the game. They just, you know, they don't do anything that's particularly slick or deceitful. They just run pretty, you know, pretty simple plays, except they run them well. They execute to the book, and then it's, can you stop them? And most teams can't. When plays are well executed, they get yards, and they just get yards, and they keep getting yards, and that's what the Falcons do. They do it like almost perfectly. You just have to play better than them. It's hard. It's a tall task. You just have to play better than them. It takes a lot of preparation and good execution, and you got to have a lot of nerve on the field.
Yeah, no. This game will be a kind of a big test for La Muerte to see what they can do, how they measure themselves for 2022. And I think Utah will win this. I really do believe that they have it in them. They're one step closer to getting to the next round. I doubt they're going to falter.
Yeah, I also doubt that they'll falter. They're accustomed to playing their game and getting their way, and that's just what they do. It's going to take a phenomenal effort from Las Cruces to turn over the apple cart. But I wish them luck, and I hope that they take every lesson that they've learned in the regular season and are able to apply it in this one game. If that's the most that you can ask for, then I hope that's what you can muster.
All right, Mark, let's talk about San Diego, Vegas. San Diego and Vegas, this is a rematch mentality. Vegas really needs to step this up if they want to get to that next round. This would be a huge upset of San Diego. San Diego, at this point, based on their performance against Oregon, this is their moment. This is what they worked for. This is what all the IG posts were for. This is all the muscles were put in together. This is how they arrived here. I think that, you know, this would be a huge upset if Vegas did get the win here.
I think it would be a pretty big upset. I mean, how about San Diego? They've had a hell of a season. They put in all the work. They've done everything. They've done everything as a team, and you can see that in every post that they make, and you can see it every time they go out on the field. They're together as a unit, and they're a great team, and they're having an awesome season. In this game, like as you said, like this got a revenge game. It's you always kind of like, you know, maybe feel a little bit of hesitation when you face somebody in the playoffs that you defeated in the regular season only once, right? You know that Las Vegas is feeling like they did not play their best game against San Diego. So you just know that they're coming for San Diego, all right? They're going to pull out all the stops, too. There's nothing that they're not going to try to get this win. So I think, I mean, of all the matchups coming in the WNFC, I want to see this one again. It was a big matchup when it happened in the regular season, but I think of these playoff matches, this one could be the most entertaining one that we see.
Well, you have Nenji Martin really wants to get to the next level. Deion Lee looking to stop that. And Deion Lee, we talked about his difference with Kerry Walters and Chris Ocasio. This is it. This is their moment. It's a no matter what. You know, it's like give it your all because nobody expected you to be here. So this is a big open moment for the Silver Stars.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, that's a really good point. Like, at the beginning of the season, you know, I wasn't really thinking so much about the Silver Stars. They weren't really on my radar as, you know, one of the teams that would probably end up in the playoffs. But here they are, you know. They really started turning heads. And, you know, in the middle of the season, they were making very impressive strides. And they... you know, rose through the rankings and, you know, and settled in the top five at the end of year. That's a great season, you know?
I think they're going to make a big moment here. This is it. San Diego really needs to get over to the next round. Vegas could play spoiler here. This is the matchup. I think of all the, like you said, just to your point earlier, of all the matchups on the weekend, this is probably the one that we're going to be focused on more solely than anything else, not to take away from the Atlantic matchups or the other matchups. But in reality, this is going to be more of a rematch mentality, and we'll see how these two combine. So let's bring in a multi-time champion, and let's bring in the champion of the Boston Renegades, which is the talented co-host of Cleat Sheets as well, and that's going to be the amazing Aaron Truex. Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, Oscar. Hey, backseat coach. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you both doing?
Well, thanks for making the time. I know you're out to practice and stuff, so hopefully you're traveling safe, as they say. So no distractions, as they say. So, Aaron, I talked to the Inferno an hour ago. They're ready for you guys. They're planning it. They're ready to go. Flames up for them.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be a tough matchup. And we played Tampa in 2019, and we started to review film. And while we handed them a pretty solid loss in 2019, the team looks very different this year. So there's definitely adjustments that are going to need to be made. And I know DC has really been challenged with injuries this year, but to do what they did to DC in DC is not an easy feat. So definitely not taking anything lightly, not taking this matchup lightly. And we know they're ready to go, and we're ready for them.
Well, I can tell you, Coach Green already knows about Mata and Bonds and Cahill. He's already dissecting that, so he's ready to go. He knows offensively what you guys are made of. So
I guess there's a couple of players that you named, but I think we have playmakers. Anyone on our team is a playmaker. So you can look at Mata and you can look at Bonds, but I know that there's five or six players just waiting for their jersey to be called to step up. So, there's those couple names you might hear on the stat sheet, but I think everyone's ready to go and everyone's ready to step up and have a big game on the 10th.
All right. I know for a fact everybody's looking forward to this WFA weekend. Me and Mark are just giddy about what's going to happen here. You got Minnesota, which is your co-host partner, Moose. He's going to be taking on Cali War. That's a pretty good battle. Cali War, not the same as a couple seasons ago, mostly more rookies than anything. That's why I think they've struggled and they haven't seen themselves as what they did in the past. But Minnesota here, I think they want Boston. And given Cooper and company and Aaron playing out their lights out ball, I really think that this is an opportunity for Minnesota to really just put themselves on the map and then put themselves in Canton.
Oh, for sure. And no disrespect to Minnesota. I think Minnesota's had a great season, and I obviously know Moose well and talk to her a lot. But when the Massies came out, honestly, I was pretty surprised at where they put the game because I know Cali had a pretty tough loss against the Nevada Storm. I know Grisafi was in. They didn't have Wiggins under center. But I actually think that's going to be a lot closer of a matchup than anyone anticipates. I was actually surprised that it so heavily favored Minnesota in the ratings. I mean, I know Moose likes that. Moose prefers to kind of have maybe a little bit closer and kind of have the underdog mentality. But I definitely was surprised at how much it was skewing in Minnesota's favor.
All right. Mark, you can jump in here. Nevada, surprised that they take down Mile High. I think we called it last week, said this is going to be a big test for Mile High, and that's what it turned out.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I feel like Mile High put up a pretty good, strong performance against the Storm. The Storm did prevail, as I think most of us predicted. But, you know, overall, I think a lot of the playoff matches in the WFA last week were closer than I thought they would be. And I feel like the Storm and the Blaze was one of them, you know. It was only a two-score game by the end, but it was a close game for most of the game.
Aaron, you feel like Houston is going to come in and really feel like they've been, you know, somewhat disrespected all season. They played really well in season, and we're not even talking about the energy most of the time, but they're a pretty balanced team on both sides, so I think this will be a big test for Nevada.
Yeah, you know, I'm really guilty of this. I'm pretty impressed by Nevada. I've made no secret of my love of how they run their offense and how they really kind of grind it out. So I truthfully haven't looked at a lot of the Houston Energy, but I know that they've played a few of those Texas teams and they've had some pretty solid wins. But after seeing what Nevada was able to do to Cali, and I know Cali has rookies, but, you know, I've gone up against them twice now in the championship. That's a tough team. So I think Nevada is the real deal. And they just seem like one of those teams that just is cool, calm, and collected. You know, I think that they're really a well-poised team. I think it'll still be a matchup. You know, no disrespect to the Energy, but time and again, I'm thoroughly impressed by what Nevada's been doing.
And, Mark, both teams have high-powered offenses. They're both scoring over 40 points a game. Defenses, they're holding down to under 6 points. So this is going to be a nice matchup, kind of like what we talked about with Rebellion and Vegas.
That's right. You know, I think we tend to look past the defenses of these teams when their offenses, you know, put up eye-popping numbers. We'll have to see. You know, Nevada's one of those teams, as Redwood said, you know, the way they run their offense is efficient, and they just get yards, and they execute well, and that's hard for any defense to stop. You know, sometimes stopping it means that they get 5 yards. But if they get 5 yards every play, you're not really stopping them, you know? So both of the defenses have their work cut out for them in this matchup.
Aaron, I talked to Coach Barrett a couple podcasts ago, and when we had him in here, this is way before this, you know, the full playoff stint, but his focus was basically, you know, Canton at this point, but one game at a time, and I don't think this is probably a big test for them in terms of offense because Houston in season has shown that they can play in both ways, either hard part battles or high scoring battles. So that's why I'm thinking this is going to be a big test for Nevada.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think the one thing to always keep in mind is it truly is in any given Sunday situation with the WFA. I mean, you look at what happened last week in the playoffs and those games were really close. I mean, Minnesota only won 24-14 against Dallas, against Arlington. I think a lot of people expected that to be a blowout. I mean, you look at what happened with the Detroit Dark Angels and the Baltimore Nighthawks. I don't think any game is just a shoe-in. And as much as I love the way that Nevada runs the ball and the way they execute their offense and the way they grind on defense, I don't think that anything is a guarantee next weekend.
Well, I'm circling this one as one of the games that I will be watching, not to take away from, you know, Boston or Tampa, but this is one of the games I'm going to be watching for sure. Aaron, you've seen DDA twice already. They kind of struggled in season. I don't know if it's injuries and numbers and things like that, but they get into this playoff dance. They get past Baltimore. Now they get to face this resurgent Jacksonville Dixie Blues this year, and they edge out Miami 8-0 in a tough defensive battle. So my expectation is probably the same as the Baltimore battle. I think these two teams are going to be pretty much in that low-scoring mentality.
Absolutely. I think the thing about Detroit, I said it from the beginning, Detroit is, for lack of a better description, Detroit is unimpressed by whoever they're facing. I mean, we came into Detroit a few weeks ago having handed them a pretty tough loss at the beginning of the season, and they came to play, you know, and they got after it, and they were by no means giving us anything and giving up anything. And I think that's a really strong and a great mentality to have. You know, I've gotten to know the coaches on the Detroit Dark Angels, and we've had a lot of conversations, and every time I've seen them, they've come up to me and they said, we're coming for you. You know, we're coming for you next season. We're coming for you the next time we play you. They want to compete and they want to go after the top. And so I think that's going to be a really great battle. I haven't seen a lot of the Jacksonville team, unfortunately, but Detroit is a tough team, and it's a team that hits hard. And again, they don't really care who they're playing. They're going to play their style of football and they're going to go all out and do what they can. I know they've faced tough losses, but they're gonna do what they can to win, and they want to get back to Canton because I think they have a chip on their shoulder for what happened in 2019 against the Slam. I think they're really wanting another chance at that title.
Mark, you agree? I think this is a DDA's moment. They got to really get to it. And then Jacksonville, I mean, they got nothing to lose here. Like we talked about, you know, in the last segment with the WNC, they got nothing to lose here. It's a good season. Nobody's expecting them to do anything. This would be their moment.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to be in a position where people don't have much expectations for you. It makes it sometimes easier to succeed. And throughout the season, you know, Jacksonville have put together very good wins. Their two losses were to the Tampa Bay Inferno. But in their other games, you know, they put up like 46 points, 28 points. They've been putting points on the board. But I am a little concerned with their last game against Miami, who they defeated before in the regular season by 20 points. And they had to grind it out at the very end. At the very end of the game, Jacksonville scored a touchdown for an 8-0 victory. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, what happened to the point scoring, especially since they're going to be facing Detroit, who can grind out low-score wins. And I think that's what's going to happen in this game, too. Detroit has had, you know, a pretty rough season. They're not the same team they were last year. No team is the same as they were last year. But I think especially for them, they've had a few more challenges than others with injuries, changes in coaches' situations, things like that. They persevered. They're going to persevere for at least one more game. Unless Jacksonville can light the fire under that offense and score some points. If they can't do that, I think we're going to see Detroit likely come up on top in a low-scoring game like the one we saw them play against Baltimore.
I think it's going to be a key for them. Both teams are penalty-prone type of teams, so it's a situation who's going to create less penalties. But I'm pretty sure Michaela Hilton and company, they know where they stand. This is one step closer for them to returning to the national championship, as Aaron mentioned here. Aaron, the Arizona Outcasts, out of the blue, retransformed from the Phoenix Phantoms, re-energized, and D3 standouts almost all the whole season, except for 1 week out of the whole season that they somewhat came down to earth. But other than that, they have just been bullying people like you guys have been.
Yeah, I had no idea who they were until I was getting ready for this call. You know, I try to do a good job of watching all the scores week in and week out, and then I started going down the list, and I saw what the Outcasts had done in the first round, but I started to dig into their season, and holy crap, they have been decimating teams. I don't think I really realized because it's D3 and it's out west, it's not really kind of on my radar, but they've really put up some high-scoring games. I've only been able to read stats. I haven't been able to get a lot of film on them, but they look charged and ready to go. I know that Moose really loves Iowa, so I think that'll be a really great matchup. But the Outcast, just by going off their stats and their games, they know how to get after it.
Well, I can tell you right now, Rene Ramos, the quarterback out there, almost a pretty good feel for it, but the defense have done such a tremendous job there holding everybody to like 21 points, so they've done really great in terms of holding everybody down. Iowa will be the surprise team of this season, I think, if you put it the three. Same situation as I said about Jacksonville. Nobody expected them to be here. They played really good. Moose talked about that on your podcast, about the fact that, you know, they play Minnesota twice. They're somewhat battle-tested. They took down OKC. So, Aaron, no surprise here. If they do pull off the upset, if you want to call it an upset against Arizona?
Yeah, I think these games have been so close and the matchups have been really close. You could look at what Arizona did in the regular season and think they're capable of blowing anyone out. But, again, it's really what you bring on game time. And I think Iowa really shocked a lot of people with their win over OKC last week, and I think they're ready to go. I think it's just such an anomaly this year with people coming back from COVID and coaching changes and player changes. It's almost like players and teams don't remember that they have to play to a certain level or they have to play scared. It kind of feels like everyone's going all out, and they're not worried about what they have tomorrow. They're just giving it their all at the game that they're playing. And so I'm seeing a lot of that, and it has me really excited because I think so often we have expectations set with some of these teams. But in the case of Iowa, they're playing above their expectations for no reason other than they just are playing the way they want to play. You know, they're not really concerned with what people are saying or what they're supposed to be performing at. So I think you're absolutely right. They could definitely pull off the upset next Saturday.
Mark, we're not going to be shocked, or we will be shocked, if Arizona goes down. Will it be a shocker for you?
Well, you know what? It wouldn't be a shocker, but I would be a little bit surprised. I do feel like Arizona is the favorite. But I feel like what Iowa has going on for them, their strength, is that they spread the ball around. They have a lot of people who have scored touchdowns and have touched the ball and have gained yards. Their quarterback's thrown for 817 yards. You know, that's pretty good, 8 touchdowns. We've got 3 rushers who have scored multiple touchdowns. You've got 2 receivers who have scored multiple touchdowns on Iowa. So they have a lot of people involved in their offense, and that's big. It's not like a one-person team or anything. That said, Arizona has a very special player on their squad, in Jasmine Reining. She scored 20 touchdowns. She rushed for, 1,500 yards. She had 2 games where she rushed for over 400 yards. I haven't had the time to look into it, but I think that has not happened in the WFA before, to have 2 games, 400-yard games in a single season.
When this one plays, they win.
The one game that she did, that Reining did not play, they did not win that game. So
yeah,
it's like she's the key person for Arizona, and that when she plays, she can't be stopped. So that's the big question now. Can Iowa's defense stop Jasmine Reining?
Awesome.
Those are some
Aaron,
Whitney Feeley numbers.
Seriously. Derby, Aaron, really tough notch, top in that little mid, range with Music City and everybody else. We talked to Thelma a while back. She is ready for Canton. This is the goal for them. I think this is the offense that they wanted. This is the defense that they've clashed with. They took down, Music City soundly, and then you have the New York knockouts that nobody's heard about, right? New York, like, oh, but New York, yeah, just gradually 7-0, nobody's heard about. So I think New York has a shot. I was surprised,
yeah. I was really surprised at how well the New York knockout did. I I hear a lot about Derby City because they obviously had that big win against the Detroit Dark Angels. You had that great interview with the owner from Derby City, and it reminded me a lot of the New York Wolves before they became the Wolves, their final season as the Sharks, where they had everyone coming out and everyone wanting to win a championship. On the latest episode of my podcast, we interviewed the QB for the New York Wolves at the time, the Sharks, and it's almost like that same mentality that I heard in your interview with the Derby City Dynamite, where they're just, they want that championship. They've been around for a while. They've been working hard for a while, and they want to get after it, and they want to be in Canton, and they want to get the W. So great interview on your part, but I think it looks like a blowout with Massey for a reason, and I know I've been harping on anything could happen, and I don't want to overlook the knockout, but Derby City has been playing hard against some really tough teams, and that, I'll just say it, if they lose that game, that is a shocker for me. I think that is going to be a big shock, I think, to a lot of people if they end up going down against the New York knockout.
Mark, the only stat that I see here, as to Aaron's point here, but the only stat that Derby doesn't have an advantage for is the knockout has only been giving 7 points on defense. So if they win this game, it will be on defense.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, that would be the key for the knockout to get to victory is, you know, to stop the Dynamite from scoring. They've got to have that. You know, that said, two of the shutouts were against the first-year team, the Utica Hellcats. And the other point totals were 14, 14, and 20. So, you know, offensively, the knockout have been able to put up points to come out on top in those games. So, I mean, it is a very intriguing matchup. I do have to echo what Aaron said, that, you know, I would be pretty shocked if Derby loses this.
I'm in agreement
partly
with
because,
that too.
You know, I've known this team for a long time now. I've been following them for basically their existence. So I know what their mindset is right now. I know how much they want to reach the championship game. It would be a huge upset for the knockout to come and knock out the Derby City Dynamite.
All right, Aaron, I don't know about you, but we're all excited. I know you're playing in it in this whole tournament deal, but, you know, we're all excited and giddy. I mean, me and Mark are going to be having popcorn, and I'm pretty sure Brian's going to have Slurpee, and we're all going to be pretty giddy for the weekend.
Yeah, I think that we got some really solid matchups. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I have a game to play, and we have a lot of work to put in and a lot to do to get ready for that game, but I'm excited for a lot of the other matchups that are happening across the league. I think Cali War and Minnesota are going to be a great matchup, but honestly, from top to bottom, I think every division is going to have some really great games, and I think there's going to be something for everyone next weekend.
All right, guys, if you haven't dived into Aaron Truex and Moose Redlander, Hall of Famer Moose Redlander, on Cleat Sheets, you can get it right there on our stories on Instagram. You can get it on at the Hub. You get the link right there to their Apple Podcasts as well. Aaron, you guys are going to be doing a weekly, right? It's from your guys' teaser.
Yeah, so we were bi-weekly. We are going to go weekly up until the championship. We have some really great guests, like I mentioned, Danielle Ayala from the New York Wolves. Some of the Sun City Stealth, if you've listened to any of my podcast episodes, you know how much I love the Stealth and what they've done in their first season. We'll be having a few different guests on, but we decided to go weekly up until championship weekend and just bring on some really interesting guests and get a sense of where people are at. And then we'll probably take a bit of a hiatus and then get back into it in the fall. But definitely hope people tune in. You know, your podcast is great, and we really love listening to it. And we wanted to just also give the opportunity to hear from some players directly. So, you know, definitely wouldn't have done it if we weren't inspired by you. So we appreciate the shout-out and really appreciate the coverage that you give the sport as well.
No problem, Aaron. Anytime. And we'll be sharing, obviously, the podcast as well and some of the interesting interviews. So if you guys haven't checked it out, plenty of episodes to listen to on Cleat Sheets. So go right there to the Apple Podcast link right there at the hub at facebook.com/GridironBeauties. All right, Aaron, thanks for making the time and coming in here after practice. I know you're probably tired and all that and heading home and getting energized and stuff like that. So I really appreciate you coming in, and thank you again. If you're inclined to come back, you're always welcome.
I'd love to. I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, Coach ran us hard tonight, so I am definitely due for a beer and an early bedtime. But I appreciate you having me on. It was always good to talk to you and always good to talk to Backseat Coach. I really appreciate it.
Bye, Redwood.
Thank you. Safe travels, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great night, y'all.
Okay, Mark, that's it. We got about 5 minutes here, but Aaron, very insightful. One of the premier players on her squad as well, and a badass beast on the field. We're going to get to see her live against the Inferno.
Yeah, she's great. You know, her podcast, Cleat Sheets, with Jody, I listen religiously every week when it comes out. So definitely go check it out. It's got the backseat coach of approval.
Go ahead. Mark, we're going to get this weekend set already. Everything's ready to roll. If you're a Women's American Football fan, this is huge. This is a big weekend. And we have WNFC, WFA playoffs. This is just, I don't know. I'm already excited. I was like, could it be tomorrow?
I know. You got a whole week to wait, right?
Jesus, that's not cool, man. Not cool at all.
What are we going to talk about next week?
I don't know. I think we'll probably have to just dissect the numbers. We'll go back deeper into numbers or something. We'll talk about something next week. I mean, we'll have everything to talk about. You have the whole lapse between that weekend. We'll talk about what's happening with each matchup as well. But you get the teasers at the hub as well. So don't forget to follow Mark at Backseat Coach on Twitter. Follow Mark at Backseat Coach on Facebook. You can also, dive into everything that he's done on Twitter. It's a lot of stuff on Twitter, so go right there. Our Twitter feed is still in jail, so it won't be active. So if you're trying to get a hold of us on Twitter, unfortunately, there was an issue with the DMCA that was affected us from a previous year, and Twitter decided to jail us. So at this point, go follow Mark for all the updates on the weekend games as well. So check it out. So for the absent Holly Custis, Mark, for the absent Nate Ward and Mackenzie Brooks, Oscar Lopez and Mark Simone here, we'll catch you here next week for 380 as we dissect more of the WFA and WFC before we get to championship weekend. Have a great night, everybody.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.